Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen, amen. My God is awesome. Welcome to the Rev Up with Reverend Alethea Blog Talk Radio Show with your host, Reverend Alethea Smith-Withers, pastor of the Pavilion of God in Washington, D.C. What a blessing this day is. Bless the Lord for this day. This is a beautiful spring day in Washington, D.C. The sky is not clear, just some clouds, but it is a warm day, not too humid, and D.C. is often plagued with great humidity. So we're enjoying spring, albeit a short span of time before it is hot and muggy summertime. Tonight, my guest is Ms. Avia Mebane, a young woman who knows how to leap from vision to reality, Listen, learn, and be inspired this evening. Beloved, call your friends and say we're going to be talking to Avia Mebane, a new author, a new published author, and have an opportunity to hear her share her journey and to read from her book. Next week, I want you to put the time and save the time now, save the date for President Otha Thornton, who is president of the National PTA. He's the first African-American male president of the National PTA. He is also an alum of Morehouse College. A brilliant young man with great power and able to inspire parents and teachers to work together for the benefit of our children. If you are a first-time listener, I offer a special welcome to you. I invite you to tune in on a regular basis. Also, you can always listen on demand. Listen to the podcast and easily turn your work time, your computer time, or leisure or exercise time into an opportunity to rev up, accelerate, and energize your life. You know, we need to have those things sometimes to focus on and help us rethink everyday things and find new ways of approaching our challenges and even simply to get inspired. So I invite you to use this show as a part of your inspiration and your education, and just, you know, fun and pleasure at times. On Tuesday evening, this show is a Keeping It Real show about life. I minister to the people of God through all phases of their experience, even up to the higher life of the spirit. So we talk about everything from sexuality to education, to parenting. This show is a safe place to talk about everything from pop culture to politics. I also want you to know that if you're in Washington, D.C. or the metropolitan area, I am inviting you to worship with the Pavilion of God on Sundays at 6401 Chilham Place Northwest. 6401 Chilham Place, Northwest, D.C., at 12:30. And that's a great time. If you've been busy over the weekend, if you have children, you have a little time to sleep in and still come to worship and praise the Lord. So put us on your list of things to do and places to be. We are a mission possible church. We believe that it's important to share the promises and power of God with the people of God, for God's promises open to victory no matter the battle. We are a mission possible church. That ought to excite you. So I hope you come and worship with us. We have Bible study, always an exciting Bible study with wonderful topics on Thursday evenings at 6:30 p.m. We also have a meal and fellowship. So it's a time to feed the spirit and the mind and the body. Our topic right now is spiritual rejuvenation, a perfect topic for this time of the year. We're worshiping at a fellow member's home. That is 2627 Otis Street Northwest, 2627 Otis Street Northwest, at 6:30 on Thursday evening. We were talking about how you can build yourself spiritually and how you can stay in touch with the people of God. And not only do we have worship on Sundays and Bible study on Thursday, but on Wednesday we have a powerful prayer line. So Wednesday morning, tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. and 12 noon, you can call in and share your prayer requests, listen to other people pray. You can pray yourself. You can even sing a song and praise God with us. 6 a.m., 12 noon, simply dial 605-475-4333. 605-475-4333. And the access code is 213-781. 213-781. Remember, the Pavilion of God is a safe place and it is sacred space. At the pavilion, you can come as you are. I encourage you to tweet me at Rev Alethea. Follow me on Instagram, Rev Alethea, R-E-V-A-L-E-T-H-E-A. And you can always send me an email at revalethea@gmail.com. The place to keep up with all of the things going on at the Pavilion of God is Facebook. If you're a Facebook member, simply look up Pavilion of God, a Baptist community. Pavilion of God, a Baptist community. We always have inspirational words there for your day. You can share a prayer. You can share scripture and just encouraging words. I want to remind you also that we're in a time when we need to take a stand for justice. The prophet Amos said, "But let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream." Old ancient words for a time such as this. Justice is not rolling because the path is not clear. There are so many impediments, blockages, and we have to remove the rocks and the boulders impeding the flow of justice. That task remains in our hands, yet there's a promise of God that justice will roll down. So I want to invite you to do what you can for the cause of justice, whether it's racial justice, gender justice, and there are many challenges, but there's always something you can do, and certainly stay prayerful about justice. That's my invitation to you. And I want to get started this evening with the program. I've shared information, and I'm hoping your heart is open. And I want to begin where everything begins for me, and that is with real connection, intentional connection with our Almighty God. I invite you to join me as I pray. God Almighty, who is parent of us all, today we thank you for this season of rejuvenation. We thank you for the evidences and of new life, for the evidence of new life that we see in the trees, the grass and the flowers and the birds. Oh God, we thank you for rejuvenation, for the spontaneous and powerful ideas and images you give us. You said, "Let there be light," and there was light, and we have been blessed to walk in the light. Lord, you have equipped us with everything we need to fulfill our destiny through your word. Lord, we thank you for working on our behalf for healing us. There are those who are listening right now, Lord, who need healing, and we thank you for the healing that is being done, has been done in the name of Jesus. We thank you for conquering all of the over and againstness of all kinds that have impacted your people. Thank you that you have already lined up the right people to come across our path. Well, we have so much to thank you for. We thank you for lining up the right breaks. Thank you for giving us everything we need to lead a victorious life. Lord, you have created us to excel. And right now, Lord, we claim that excellence in the name of Jesus. You have planted seeds of greatness inside of us. Oh, maybe be awakened to the reality that you planted these seeds within us. Tonight, we are affirming who we are and whose we are. We are anointed, and we can accomplish our dreams. We can overcome every obstacle. And, Lord, we claim right now that we are equipped and empowered by you, who is present in us, with us, and through us. We are able to live the abundant life that you have ordained for us. Oh, Lord, we thank you for this season of rejuvenation, the season of abundance. And it is in Jesus' name that I pray. And the people of God say amen, amen, and amen. I'm hoping and praying that you are experiencing this powerful thing that is happening, not just tomorrow, but literally happening in this very minute. We are in a blessed time together. We're going to enjoy this conversation tonight. I want to welcome you to the Rev Up with Reverend Alicia Blog Talk Radio Show. I hope you're experiencing the prayer that I just prayed. And if not, just close your eyes, open your heart, and the Lord will touch you right now. As with every show, we're going to rev up, accelerate, and energize our thinking. To join in the dialogue, you can simply dial 347-945-7723, or you can write on the blog and ask a question, give your comments, and I will share them with our guests. Tonight, I'm very fortunate to once again talk with Avia Mebane. Avia Mebane. Avia is a fourth grade teacher at Central NEA School in Washington, D.C. She is dedicated to her students, and they inspire her. Not every teacher will acknowledge the inspiration of the children she is teaching, but Avia does. She's a young woman who has a gentle and vibrant spirit. No one could be more lighthearted and fun, and also be more thoughtful and committed to serve. She is an ordained deacon and serves at the Pavilion of God. So I have firsthand knowledge, firsthand experience, firsthand opportunity to have witnessed her gifts in her everyday living. And every day I can say that I learn a little bit more about Avia and the anointing that God has placed on her. She has, you know, I'm going to say this, she has been set aside to serve. And often when we talk about those who are set aside to serve, it means they've been pulled out and pulled away. She's been set aside but left within the community that she is serving. So she walks just as every other child of God walks. She talks just like every other child of God talks. And yet she is anointed and blessed. And we are thankful to have her here this evening to spend some time chatting with us. Deacon Avia, welcome once again to the Rev Up with Reverend Alicia Blog Talk Radio Show.
How you doing, Reverend Alicia?
I'm fine.
I'm going to get that out.
Right now. Yes, I'm more fine right now. Wow. You know, we and the audience listening, if you didn't listen in October of 2014, you missed it. You missed a beginning moment, a birthing moment that Avia shared with us. It was a book written but not published, a dream in process. And, you know, rarely do we get to the step where you were in October where the book was written. And then often we write the book and then it sits on the shelf and we think, oh, my goodness, I've written it. Here it is in my computer. I'm so thankful. I've created images, but here it is, and we don't do anything with it. And in a short 6 months, Avia, you've got a published book.
I know.
How'd you do that?
Well, I'm going to be very honest with you. I wrote this book January 2014, and it took me 1 week to write the book. I believe I was inspired by God to write this book. And so from January to October, it sat because I had put it in my mind, oh, I don't know how I'm going to get this book published. I really don't have any money to get the book published. You know, in October, you asked me to come on the show and talk about and read the book. So I was like, okay. So what really got me was when I had gotten some emails afterwards when people said they wanted copies of the book. And I was like,
wow. Oh,
no. Now I was held accountable. I said, I have to really try to get this book published because people want the book. So after that, you know, I prayed on it, and God had sent me to Tate Publishing, which is a Christian publishing company. They immediately accepted the book, and then here we are. Here we are now.
Wow. Give the name of the publishing company one more time.
Tate, T-A-T-E, Tate Publishing.
Wonderful. You know, often the answer to our question is just within our reach. We just simply have to reach out. And you said it as if it were the easiest thing to do. You felt the challenge, experienced the challenge, and said, okay, next step, and you reached out and found the answer. How many people are listening right now saying, I have an idea for a book and they haven't written it? I'm talking to myself as well, Avia. How many people are saying, I've written, but I haven't looked for a publisher? I'm talking to myself right now. And there are many, many ways. It used to be that you had to find a publisher willing to publish, but now with many opportunities for publishing a book in a self-publishing way, and there are so many wonderful avenues, Christian and non-Christian or traditional publishers who will work with you, and they're there. And we simply need to reach out and find them.
Exactly.
Exactly.
And the funny thing is, like, I never set out to write a book. I never even had an idea to write a book. I never thought I was an author, a writer. So I never thought, I had other ideas. Oh, let me try this, let me try that, but never a book. So that's the funny part of this story, too. I had no clue, but it just came to me, and I ran with it.
Yeah. Can you share with them, that's how you got it published, but you also were the storyteller in your class. So share about that, because, you know, we discover our gifts, and Avia is an extremely gifted teacher, and often the gifts that we have, we don't acknowledge, but others tell us about the gifts they see in us.
Exactly.
And we have to be able to listen and connect with the response we're getting from those around us. And that's why God puts, you know, us with our friends or even in our work settings where people will extol us, and we have to stop and listen and say, wait a minute, maybe this is the gift. So share with them about how your students responded to your story.
Sure. Well, the kids would have choice times in the day. And so one day I was like, let me just tell them a story. And they really, really loved the story. And what they wanted to hear were scary stories. So I would make up these scary stories. And the demand was high. And they were getting me every day, tell a story, tell a story, tell a story. And I would just try to stretch them out so I could continue for the next day. But that's how it started. And then one student after another would say, you should write a book. You should write a book. And I would just laugh it off. And then one day I was like, well, maybe I should write a book. And so that's how that happened.
Wow. And to me, and I say wow, and it is that wow moment. So many of us have been hearing these little things like, wow, you're a great cook. You should open a restaurant. You should write a cookbook. You should teach a dance class. You should do something. And we don't do anything. And here, the children that you were teaching with, they were the ones that God used to encourage you to write a book. And you did. And thank God for their encouragement. Thank God for you sharing your gifts with them without any hesitation, and then responding to their affirmation to do more. Wow, what a great story that is, Avia, for us
all. Thank you.
So I want to ask you to do what authors do all the time. Won't you read the story of Amaret?
Absolutely. Okay. Can you please tell us another scary story, Miss Pringle? One student called out. The fifth graders had a choice to play at a particular time in the day. At that time, the students loved to hear her intricately crafted horror stories that were always made up from the top of her head. Today, she had other plans. As she was about to start a creepy scenario, something inside her told her to share a story of love. Love, the students cried out. We want a scary story. Not today, she calmly retorted, and she began to craft one of her best stories yet. There were two ladybugs named Earl and Edith. They had been married for 30 years. They wanted children for years, but could never have any of their own. They watched their friends and family have and raise several children, and they were always willing to help whenever they could. Earl had brought up adoption before to Edith, but she was reluctant. She wanted her own and felt that it would simply not be the same. Earl, a quiet and gentle bug, always told Edith she'd make an excellent mother. Sometimes Earl would catch Edith silently weeping. He, too, would then release a teardrop. He felt terrible because they never knew why they could not have children. The doctors could never give an explanation. One Saturday, Earl was on a day camping trip with his friend Randolph and Randolph's son, Bo. Earl was Bo's godfather. Earl loved Bo. He was the closest thing of a son to him. Bo was 7 years old. He was a trickster and always kept everyone on their toes. He also told the best jokes. He was just a joy to be around, and Earl loved every minute of it. While Earl was out, Edith was at home alone, suffering from terrible pain. She tried to fly out and find Earl, but the pain was unbearable. When Earl finally made it home, it was dark. He came in to find Edith moaning in excruciating pain. Edith, what's wrong? I don't know, Earl, she said in a faint whisper. Earl was very concerned, so he called Dr. Featherstone. Dr. Featherstone was the only doctor in the area who made house visits. Dr. Featherstone immediately flew over to their house. After hearing the symptoms and running some tests, Dr. Featherstone let out a big laugh. Earl was very upset that the doctor was laughing at his hurting wife. What's so funny, Doc? Earl snapped. The two of you have no idea what's going on, do you? The two shook their heads. Dr. Featherstone announced that the two will be expecting a baby any minute now. What? They both exclaimed. That is impossible. I'm 67 years old. Well, Dr. Featherstone said, I've been a doctor over 40 years and I know what I'm talking about. Edith let out a wail that could be heard from miles away. At that moment, the baby is welcomed into the world. Oh my gosh, Earl raved. It really is a baby. Dr. Featherstone delivered the baby but found some obvious things wrong. Edith and Earl looked at the doctor's face and they could tell something was wrong. He held the baby and gave her to Edith. Edith was so overcome with emotion, she could hardly hold the baby, so she handed her to Earl. The doctor told them that their baby was born with several birth defects. Earl then quickly passed the baby to Edith, What do you mean? Dr. Featherstone said, well, I don't have to state the obvious. She's shaped like a heart. She is purple and has yellow spots. This is not normal for at all for us ladybugs. We pride ourselves with our rich history by being a reddish-orange color. Edith took her baby and said, we will name you Amorette, which means little love. Earl told the doctor, thank you, and escorted him to the door. The doctor turned to Earl and said, your baby is going to have a hard life. She's going to be looked at as unnatural. She will get teased wherever she goes. She will never fly, and she may not live a very long life. Earl, you and Edith are such good ladybugs. You don't deserve this. I am so sorry. Poor Edith. She always wanted a child, and this happened. This is so unfortunate. Earl was crushed. He thought, should I tell Edith all of this? She will be heartbroken. Earl went back into the room to find Edith lavishing Amorette with love, despite all the odds that were against them. Earl was wondering how she can be so happy. Can't she see that Amorette is not like us? Edith didn't seem to care a bit. She was just so overjoyed by her new bundle of joy. After a couple of weeks, Edith decided to go to the store with Amorette. All heads turned because they had heard about Amorette's differences. They could not believe it. They had to see it for themselves. The mother ladybugs all gathered around and looked. No one said a word to Edith. They walked away and started laughing. Edith heard some of the cruel things being said about her baby. They were all hurtful, but Edith kept going and pretended not to hear a word. When Edith left the store, she started to cry aloud. Why are all these ladybugs so mean? No one is perfect. She then looked at Amorette and said, but you are perfect to me. They flew home. Some years passed, and Amorette was then 10 years old. Edith and Earl were 77. They're slowing down some. Earl was sick. He decided before he dies that he was going to tell Edith everything the doctor told him about Amorette. But when he did, she was not shaken a bit. She said, Earl, this is the baby we were given, and this is the baby I'm going to love with my whole heart. I know you've had some problems with her diagnosis since day one, but I never have. I believe there's a reason I was given Amorette. I am someone who knows how to love in any situation. I'm actually happy she was given to me. She may not have gotten the special attention she needs from someone else. She will grow to do many marvelous things, regardless of what you or anyone else thinks. Earl said, I love Amorette with all my heart, too. I just hate to see her treated the way she does. People look at her as if she's so insignificant. She will be fine, Earl. All the love I've poured into her will last a lifetime. I'm not saying her feelings won't get hurt, but she will always remember that she had loving parents who did not look at her as a defect. In my opinion, Earl, the Creator does not make mistakes. Everyone is wonderfully made. After that, Earl's heart opened a little wider. He felt bad for the way he had been putting limits on Amorette. He decided to let go and love her with his whole heart. A couple of months later, Earl died. Edith and Amorette were heartbroken, but knew they still had each other. Amorette had been going to a special school that was helping her with her developmental skills. Great progress was being made. Amorette was starting to speak, but it would be in a slow drawl. Edith was delighted with the achievement, but after Earl died, she could no longer afford the school. She had to enroll Amorette in a school with the general population. At first, Edith worried about how they were going to treat Amorette, but Edith always had great faith, so she tossed that thought into the back of her head. She knew that everything was going to be just fine. On the first day of her new school, Amorette was laughed at and teased. Even some of the teachers did the same. She tried to ignore it. Every day when she went home, her mother asked her how her day was, and she would always say, fine. She didn't want to get her mother upset or worried about her. Amorette had been given a spirit of determination. She recognized all the sacrifices her parents had made for her. She knew without a doubt that her mother loved her unconditionally. 2 years later, when Amorette was 12 years old, Edith passed away, Emmerich did not think she could go on. She moved in with Edith's younger sister, Doreen, and her husband, Morris. They had three children, Jason, Aaron, and Brooke. They were older than her. Brooke was the closest in age. She was 15. Emmerich had met them a couple of times, but they were not very receptive towards her. When she arrived, Doreen and Morris were nice, but Emmerich could tell they were a bit uncomfortable by her presence. Emmerich thought that is why she did not spend much time with them in the past. Doreen and Brooke show her to the room that they would be sharing. Brooke was very to the point and short when she talked to Emmerich. She never looked Emmerich in the eye. She always either looked down or past her. Her new family lived away from her old house, so Emmerich had to be enrolled into a new school. One day, Brooke asked her parents why she has to live with them. Her parents said, because she has nowhere to go and she's family. Emmerich overheard the conversation and knew that she must be a burden for everyone. She decided to run away. Running was her only option because she felt she could not fly. She wrote a letter explaining how she felt, and she did not want to make them uncomfortable. She let them know that she would not help, that she could not help the way that she was born, and it would be better for her to go away. It would help to bring peace back to the family. Emmerich had no clue where she would run to. The only thing she knew is that she had to get out of there as fast as she could. Emmerich had nothing but the spots on her back. She cried as she ran away, thinking that she would never be accepted by the ladybug community. She decided to go to the spider community. They will eat me and put me out of my misery. She thought long and hard about it and decided it was the best thing to do. And besides, she had nowhere to go. Emmerich had never been to spider territory before. She always heard of how mean spiders were. She was terrified, but at least she'd be put out of her misery. As Emmerich was walking to the spider's territory, she heard beautiful singing. She did not know where it was coming from. She looked farther ahead and saw a bird with one wing. He was singing, "I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky." The bird sang with so much conviction. As Emmerich passed by, she felt slightly encouraged. She thought that this bird was very positive. He only had one wing and seemed so happy. The bird stopped singing. He was caught by her beauty. "Excuse me," he said. "What type of bug are you? I have never seen anything as beautiful ever in my life before." Emmerich chuckled. "I'm a ladybug." "What? I have never seen a ladybug that looked like you before." "I know. I was born with defects. All of the other ladybugs make fun of me because I don't look like them." The bird said, "Hi, my name is Peter. I've seen thousands of bugs in my lifetime, and none has ever caught my eye like you have. You should feel really special. For one, you're the color of royalty." "Royalty?" "Yes, royalty. I never knew that." "You should really embrace your differences. Don't you think this would be a boring world if everyone looked the same? I am sure some of those ladybugs envy you. I was born with one wing. Growing up, I was teased all the time. All of the birds said I was not a real bird. I had no friends growing up. My own parents even abandoned me." Emmerich felt sad for Peter. At the same time, she felt a connection. She understood firsthand what he had endured. She could totally relate. "How are you able to be so happy and sing? You have such a beautiful voice. Your voice is so calming and therapeutic. I could listen to you sing all day." They both laughed. "It was not easy to get to the place I'm currently in. There were many days and nights of crying and feeling sorry for myself. Many days I woke up and thought, why was I born? I'm no good for myself or anybody else. I can't get a real job, and I'll just be in everyone's way. I decided I was going to jump off that cliff over there. No one was going to miss me. As I was standing over there and about to jump, a strong wind pushed me back. The wind had such an energy, such a force, I fell back into a tree. I felt a sensation come over me, and I began to sing, I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky. The sound that came out was unbelievable. It was so powerful. I never knew I could sing until that night. Birds from everywhere flew down and flocked to me. A lot of them started crying and apologizing to me. They told me that they'd never heard a bird sing as melodic and beautiful as me. At that very moment, I realized how important I was. I discovered how much I was needed. I am now known as the bird healer. Whenever someone is sick or if a bird has passed away, I always sing. It gives the family such a sense of peace. I know what you are on your way to do. What? Amaret asked. How do you know? Peter said, I have never seen a ladybug in this area before. They don't travel this far. It is pretty unsafe for them. You have such a glorious life ahead of you. I have since realized that every single creature on this earth was purposely created. We are all on a journey, and we all have a mission, whether you know it or not. We cannot abort our mission. All of our differences were purposed. Amaret was amazed at how wise Peter was. She was starting to feel better, then said, I still don't know what my purpose is. Your purpose is to live in this very moment. It will come to you. Trust me, I felt very much like you did. I have since released any negative thoughts about myself. I know that I am wonderfully made. My mom used to tell me that all the time. She has since passed away. After my parents died, I have no support system. I feel so alone. Most days, I don't even want to do anything. Wow, you knew your parents? At least they loved you. And you got to spend precious time with them. I was just left to fend on my own. A part of me does not regret it now because it made me so much stronger than a lot of these other birds out here. Yeah, you do seem mighty strong, she said. Fear not. Turn back around. Go home and find your purpose. It is waiting for you. Peter gave Amaret a push with his wing, and she started to fly. Amaret cannot believe it. How am I flying? The doctor said I would never fly. All you have to do is believe. Thank you so much. Amaret flew all the way home. When she arrived back at her aunt and uncle's house, everyone could tell she was different. She seemed more confident. They also saw her fly in, which was a shock to them. Amaret, everyone shouted. Where have you been? Her aunt asked. We got your letter and hoped you would return. Brooke even said it was lonely without you here. I missed you, Brooke confessed. Amaret was so happy to hear those words. You all really miss me? Yes, even the ladybugs at school wondered where my purple cousin was. They all laughed. I learned a lot about myself while I was gone. A little birdie told me that I should not be embarrassed about my differences. I am purple with yellow spots for a reason. I am on a mission, and I plan to fulfill it. The bugs were reunited, and all was good. The next day, Amaret went to school, and all the other ladybugs looked at her, but were not saying anything. She was not used to that. They would usually start teasing her by now. Oh, well, she thought. When she got to her locker, the bug whose locker was next to her mentioned how she had a glow, that she looked radiant. Amaret looked kind of confused, but said, thanks, Lucy. Amaret went to the bathroom. When she passed the mirror, she saw a bright light hovering around her. She heard her mother's voice. The voice said, I love you. I always have. I've always looked at you as flawless. Keep your light shining, and others will recognize that you are very special. No matter what you're facing, you always have to believe. Amaret was about to say something when the bathroom door opened. It was Lucy. She asked if Amaret was ready for class. Amaret smiled and said yes. She felt so empowered. Lucy had caught her up on things that had happened while she was gone. Amaret was only gone for 2 days, but it seemed much longer. Oh, yeah, I forgot. I'm having a birthday party this Saturday and would love for you to come. Me? A party? Amaret shouted. She had never been invited to a party before. She quickly regained her composure and said, I'll have to see. You know, Saturdays can be really busy. Lucy looked kind of stunned. She said, yeah, I know what you mean. Amrette could not wait to get home and tell Brooke that Lucy invited her to a party. Brooke was so happy for Amrette. She helped her pick out an outfit. She even let her borrow one of hers. When she tried it on, she felt beautiful. When Amrette approached Lucy's house, she was so excited. One of Lucy's friends, who goes to another school, opened the door and yelled, the clown is here. Amrette was so ashamed, she turned around and headed home. She stopped at a nearby tree and started crying. I knew I could never fit in. I was fooling myself. Just then, she saw a bird fly by and instantly thought of Peter. She began to sing, I believe I can fly, I believe I can touch the sky. She remembered all the things Peter endured and began to bring her back to her purpose. She decided to go back to the party. She was getting stronger. I want to have some fun. I deserve some fun. This time when she knocked, Lucy answered the door and said, I love your outfit. It's so cool. Come in. I've been waiting for you. Amrette followed behind Lucy and met her friends. Lucy's friend Anna was embarrassed. I thought you were a clown because you were purple with yellow spots. I thought it was a costume. No, Amrette said, this is my real shell. That's kind of neat, very different. I've never seen anything like it before. Soon after, the girls got acquainted. Some of the bugs were asking how they too could get a purple shell. Amrette laughed and said, I'm one of a kind, a masterpiece. There was a knock at the door. Lucy answered and shouted, the real clown is here. They all laughed. From that moment on, Amrette never felt embarrassed, ashamed, or confused about who she was. She knew she was chosen to help other ladybugs. She started out by educating the bugs at her school. She earned their respect, and everyone started calling her Amor, which means love. Miss Pringle says, and that is today's story of love. It was completely silent. Usually after one of her scary stories, the students are talking amongst themselves, but this time it was different. Miss Pringle was stunned. I have never seen the students like this before, she thought. She wondered if they enjoyed the story or not. She looked at one of her students and saw her wiping her eyes. Is everything okay, Olivia? Olivia wiped one more tear and said, go, Amrette! Then all of the other students started cheering for Amrette. What did Amrette do after that? I want to hear more, another yelled out. Amrette for president, the students laughed. At that time, the bell rings. As the students exit Miss Pringle's class, one student says, please tell us another story of love. Miss Pringle smiled widely. Stay tuned for another one of my best stories yet. The end.
Wow.
Oh, I said we need claps. Amen. That was wonderful. What a powerful story. I've heard it before. I had tears this time. I had laughter once again. My heart is full. What a wonderful story. This is a story that could be read over and over again. I am looking forward to reading it to my granddaughter. It is, if you've got a baby shower coming up, this is the book to buy. You know, Avia, we don't have those many times anymore to, I don't know whether parents read aloud. I mean, thank goodness teachers read aloud in school and librarians read aloud. And what you were doing with your kids, telling the stories aloud, that's fantastic. But just to have the story read after dinner time or, you know, sitting around outside in the spring or at a picnic, what a great thing.
Thank you. I think
this is just fantastic. How did it feel to now know that you had a story you could tell your children, that you've written the book, that you've had the book published? What
how does that feel for you?
I'm excited. I'm happy. I got the students' approval first, because if they didn't approve, I would be a little nervous. But they approved of it. So I'm very excited. I'm going to push this book, but also I want people to know that I'm going to do a series of Amaret books. So there's more Amaret to come.
Amen, because I can tell. We have a lot of people on the line. I want to remind the listeners, we have a number of people listening that have signed on the blog with their questions to talk with Avia. You dial 347-945-7723. 347-945-7723. I'm going to just take a chance, though the person hasn't indicated that they have a question. I am talking to caller 301-577. If that's your number, and if you have a question, would you like to ask it, or a question or a comment? 301-577. They didn't indicate that they had a question, so I'm putting somebody on the spot, and I don't know who the caller is.
Okay.
I'm going to go to another listener and ask them, because they're not showing up as having a question, but I will ask you, caller, do you have a question? If you're hearing and you're showing up without a number, 111 is what it's showing up. Do you have a question or a comment? I do have a caller right here. If you hold on 1 second, audience, I'm going to go to a caller with a question. It's 701. Caller, welcome to the Rev Up with Reverend Alethea Blog Talk Radio Show. Do you have a comment or a question?
Hello? Am I on?
You're live.
I just wanted to tell you, Reverend Alethea, and Sister Avia, Mebane, that I really enjoyed hearing this story. I was blessed to hear it at church one day, and I heard it again on Blog Talk Radio, and I thought that it was so wonderful, and I just want to say that the story is interesting enough where it cannot just be read to children, but it's appropriate for reading to, like, senior groups and things like that. It has a really strong and wonderful message, and I wanted to praise Sister Avia for accomplishing the publication of her book.
Thank you.
And I would like to also encourage her to continue the series, because it is something that I feel that we are lacking in the general community of D.C. We don't have enough people that are blessed with ideas for books and projects like this that dare to pursue it to completion.
Yes.
I just want to praise her for doing that, and praise her for bringing a wonderful story to life. I love it, and I love her, and I love Rev Up.
Amen.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Yes, thank you so much for listening and for sharing your comments. You know, I agree with the caller so very, very much that we don't have enough who follow through. Creative minds are everywhere. Those are filled with ambition everywhere. But can you walk the walk? after you've talked the talk. That's the powerful thing. What a gift you've shown us with moving from vision. And again, not just vision, but it was a shared vision when you were sharing the stories with your children, even before you wrote them.
Mm-hmm.
But being in touch enough to respond to their clear, simple request, write it. And you did. Can you, Avia, just share a couple? I mean, there's so, as the caller said, and we have a number of callers now, and my question and another person who signed on the blog wants to know, what are some, can you point out one or two of the lessons from the story? I mean, there's so many, and gosh, you could do at least five different lessons that I see on a mat quickly. But what are some of the lessons that stand out for you?
Yeah, and every time I read the book, another lesson comes. Because, like I said, I just wrote it, I guess not with much thought, but after reading it over and over again, you can really pick out the different themes. The major one that stands out for me is just self-acceptance.
Wow.
Just accepting how you were created. And like I said in the book, we were all purposed and created just the way we are. So we really don't need to change anything. Our personalities are what makes us, even our look, that's what makes us. And so I believe that God doesn't make any mistakes. So, you know, just accepting who you are, accepting your shell, as to say, mm-hmm. like Amorette. But also with the story of love also. Like I said, the love that Amorette's parents had for her, which is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And that love is what got Amorette through the book. She held on to her mother's love for her, and also the love that Peter shared with her as well as all. He encouraged mm-hmm. her to keep going. So love and self-acceptance, those are the two major themes that I'm pointing out today.
Yeah, I would agree with you there, because whether or not you have any kind of physical disability, emotional disability, love and self-acceptance are critical. There's a line in the story that just hits me at my heart, is, but you are perfect to me.
Right.
Wow, what a blessing it would be if all of us knew that we were perfect or seen as perfect to one person. And,
right.
And hopefully we could believe it when someone else embraces us as perfect.
Yes.
We should all. That's a great lesson, Avia, to share with parents, with other teachers, to help the children say, you know, wouldn't it be a blessing if the teachers would say to children, you're perfect to me?
Right.
Maybe that child has never heard it
mm-hmm.
before. Pastors, you know, part of what I try to say to all of the children in our congregation and all the children that I encounter, you are perfect to me. What a simple,
yes.
powerful lesson that is.
Yeah, and it's also, I'm sorry, I just wanted everyone out there to know also, it's perfect also for adults. We
Ooh.
Get through life, we get in our 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, you know, on up. And some of us have not grasped that concept of self-acceptance. Or
yeah.
people who have teased other people. You know, this shines light on them too. The hurt that you're causing. I think sometimes people who tease or bully, they think it's for fun. Oh, it's fun, blah, blah, blah. I'm not hurting anybody. But that stuff can last for years and years and years. So this is a good story for people who also tease people to understand the effect that they are having on people. So it's a story for all people, for kids, mm-hmm. adults. It's for everyone.
Wow, someone just sent in a message when you said that. Thank you for sharing that, Avia, because it's an adult lesson and it's a couple's lesson. I can't wait for my next couple's counseling session to say that we need to say to one another, you're perfect to me, baby. I love you.
That's right.
You know, you're
That's
perfect
right.
to me. What a way to face the world is, you know, our significant other can look in our eyes and simply say, you're perfect to me. You're
mm-hmm.
perfect to me. We can go out and face the world. We can go out and face the challenges of our day, and there's so many challenges that we all have to face. This is a story for children and for the child and all of the adults who walk around. We have wounded children inside of us who need to hear this story. And those of us who weren't wounded need to be encouraged as adults with this.
Absolutely.
And so I heard that at the end of the story. Now, you didn't fool me with that ending. There is more to come.
Absolutely.
More of Amaret.
When
can we look forward to another Amaret story?
Well, I'm still doing my research. Nothing has really come yet. So I'm still in the midst of just letting it come to me. But hopefully either, you know, within this year or early next year.
Well, I want to say to the listeners and to those who will be buying your book that if you want to have Avia come to your book club party or to your church or to a book fair at your school, or you would love to do that, right? You'd love to.
Absolutely.
Be invited.
And yes,
how can they best contact you?
Well, they can contact me at my email, which is aviamebane@gmail.com. A-V as in Victor, I-A-M-E-B-A-N-E @gmail.com. And you can contact me for books. You can contact me for speaking engagements, readings, because that's what I absolutely would love to do. I have my first engagement on May 29th. I will be at an elementary school in College Park, so I'll be doing that. I've also done my very first book fair. That was a couple weeks ago, so I'm excited. Amaret's getting revved up just like Rev and Alethea.
Yay.
So we're excited. Yes, we're excited.
And she has accessible for you the phone number if you need to call her to order books. If you can't email her for some reason, you can call at 202-758-5004. And the books are you can order now. The books cost, what's the cost for the books, Avia?
The books are $10.99.
A very inexpensive, wonderful gift for anyone's baby showers, birthday gifts, Christmas gifts, wonderful ways to share with your friends. The Graduate, a great book to share with them to remember, remind them of their uniqueness and to how to pursue their gifts. So if you've got a high school student who's graduating, give them Amaret, a gift of love for them, a wonderful way to say thank you to this creative gift that Avia has shared with us. Avia, we're going to invite you back to let us know more stories about Amaret. We know that she's going to have more adventures and more opportunities to share her lessons about living and life with us. So it's not just Avia anymore. It's Avia and Amaret.
That's right.
Amen. So I want to thank you for this evening and invite you to come back and to keep listening and invite your friends to keep listening to Rev Up with Reverend Alethea. Friends, we are so blessed tonight to have heard the story of Amaret. There were so many blessings and lessons in this story this evening, and I don't even know where to start. But one thing I will say is a lesson is God has anointed and appointed all of us to do amazing things, and we need to be sure of that. Sometimes the amazing thing is simply to make it through the day. That's amazing sometimes for me. Or to go to work and come home. How amazing is that? To get dinner cooked and on the table. How amazing is that? It is also amazing to have a vision and a dream to do something, to try a new activity, or like Avia, the vision to write a book and then to do the work to make it a reality. Wow. How many visions and dreams have you had that have gone, have been ignored, or that you gave short shrift to. I don't know whether you even know what it means to give short shrift to something. That's a term that my mother used, which means to be, you know, dismiss these great things, give short shrift to an idea. Vision to decorate a cake will often give short shrift to. We'll just ignore it. Or the vision to decorate our child's room or to start an exercise program. Your ideas, your inclinations to create, no matter how simple they may seem, are central to being a person of integrity and being the person that makes this world a better place. B.B. King, who made his transition last week, lived out his dreams. He was a man of integrity and a man who made the world a better place. As I listened to Avia Mebane's story of Amaret, I saw my differences, my uniqueness. I saw new possibilities and the divine promises for my life. I encourage you to embrace the story of Amaret for as a powerful and practical reminder for yourself and as a gift to share with friends and an affirmation of who they are and as an encouragement to them, their truth. We need more Amarets, more Avias, and more people like you who are listening. We all need to grow and embrace our gift to fly in a miraculous way and soar above the world. Thanks, Avia Mebane, Deacon Avia Mebane. Thank you for your inspiration and for the challenge you've offered us to listen to the little birdie that whispers in our ear. Remind this beloved to purchase this book, email Avia Mebane, AviaMebane, all one word, at gmail.com, or call her at 702-758-5004. Next week, I'll be talking with Otha Thornton, National PTA President. Until then, beloved, rev up, accelerate, and energize your thinking. Rev up, accelerate, and energize your thinking.